you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Erin Gabra, everybody. Is that how you say it?
Erin Gabra.
It means Ireland forever, or something like that.
Erin Gabra.
You know, I've never really mastered the correct pronunciation for that phrase, but people seem to throw it around a lot on St. Patrick's Day, which was, of course, last Friday. But I'm sure there are a lot of people who are just now sobering up fully. You know, I don't have that problem anymore, thank the good Lord in heaven. Not that I'm trying to be judgmental or anything. I mean, to each his own. Poison, because that's what it is in my case. In any case, I should know how to say Erin Gabra, because I have a good deal of the Irish blood in me veins, I do. But I don't. Know how to say it, that is. Not to mention, I was the master of ceremonies at a lot of different St. Patrick's Day events. I mean, after all, I've been in broadcasting for 50-plus years. So I don't really have an excuse for not knowing how to say it. I just never took the time to figure it out. One of my all-time favorite St. Patrick's Day stories was back in the mid-70s. It was a place called Shakey's Pizza Parlor in North Dallas. I was working for Bart McLendon. For those of you who know anything about Texas broadcasting history, Bart McLendon was Gordon McLendon's son. Bart was my boss at a radio station in Dallas-Fort Worth, and he had lined up this St. Patrick's Day promotion that it kind of played off the legend of St. Patrick driving all the snakes out of Ireland. I've often wondered if St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland on the left side of the road. Anyway, we held snake races at Shakey's Pizza for St. Patrick's Day, and they sold green beer, all the usual stuff. We even had a snake beauty pageant, which, as I recall, a rattlesnake won. He adhered to that old adage, winning through intimidation. But I digress. Look, the promotion was a screaming success. The pizza place was packed. The owner was very duly impressed. Andy Stacio was his name. I even remember his name. So Andy insisted that he feed Bart and me and the rest of our radio station crew. He had some free pizza as everything started to wind down for the evening. So we're just sitting there eating pizza, and this guy walks up to Andy and he says, "Are you the owner?" And when Andy said yes, he was, the guy says, "I lost my snake, and I can't find it nowhere." My wife, Cindy, immediately jumped up on top of the table and started screaming at the tops of her lungs. And I looked over at our pizza, and I turned to Bart, and I said, "Did that pepperoni just move?" My wife couldn't eat pizza for a month and a half. Ah, the days of my youth. So I hope you had a good St. Patrick's Day. But even more importantly, I hope you had a safe St. Patrick's Day. I've seen a lot of people at St. Patrick's Day celebrations who really should have left in the back seat of a car instead of up front behind the wheel, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. But they didn't leave in the back seat, that is. These days, I avoid driving on St. Patrick's Day almost as much as I do on New Year's Eve. I've kind of gotten to the point that my idea of a perfect St. Patrick's Day celebration is to eat shepherd's pie for dinner and watch the crying game on TV. Besides, this is the Outdoor Cooking Show, and as far as I can tell, St. Patrick's Day has always been a whole lot more about drinking than cooking, or eating, which in my humble opinion is a serious reconsideration most revelers need to make. Sorry for the rant. Let's just move along and see what the old email bag has in store for us today. Here's the first one. Randy, you interrupted Chris Wilson. You'll remember Chris Wilson is the culinary director of Emeril's home base in New Orleans. Emeril Lagasse's right-hand man, big deal. You interrupted Chris Wilson when he was explaining how he boiled crawfish, and he had to come back around to it later in the interview and explain the rest of the details on how he soaked the crawfish. Why did you cut him off? You know, you're right, I did. I didn't mean to. I thought he was finished, and I just moved on to the next question a little too quickly, didn't I? Sorry. And ironically enough, that's one of my pet peeves about interviewers. You know, when they don't actually listen to the person they're interviewing. And lo and behold, I did it myself. But I'll own it. Lesson learned. Apologies. I should have known better. You know, I've been interviewing people on the air for, like I said, over 50 years. And I still make the classic old mistakes that even beginners make. I had a really good radio TV film professor at TCU named Larry Lauer. He went on to become a vice chancellor at TCU. And he once told our announcing class, if your question is longer than the answer, you have screwed up as an interviewer. That's advice I've remembered ever since. And another thing that irritates, so long as we're on this subject, another thing that irritates me is when an interviewer asks a question like this. How good did it make you feel when everyone applauded? I mean, that's just inviting the person to say, good, it made me feel real good. Stupid questions elicit stupid answers, and they make the interviewer look, well, stupid. But you caught me being stupid. I apologize to Chris, and I apologize to you, too. Thanks for the reminder, and I'll try to do better next time. We also got another note from a listener who wanted to know how our two cooking teams fared at the World's Championship Barbecue Contest. I call them our cooking teams, but we just interviewed them on the radio. You'll remember we talked to the Cypress Boys cooking team and the Bulldog Mountain cooking crew. And the only mention I could find of either one of them in the final standings was the Bulldog Mountain cooking crew got first runner-up in chicken. And speaking of pet peeves, can anybody explain to me why we insist upon calling it first runner-up? I mean, why not just call it what it is? Second place. Okay, I admit, first runner-up sounds better than second place, but what the heck is this, T-ball? You know, where everybody gets a trophy, and we're all winners here. Holy mother of pearl. You just finished in the top two out of hundreds of different entries. Isn't that good enough? Does everybody have to be Charlie Sheen? Winning. Oh, well. Congratulations to Mike Wells and the Bulldog Mountain cooking crew, and end of rant number two, okay? Well, at least I'm getting closer to the subject of cooking, aren't I? You mentioned Chris Wilson of Emeril's home base on last week's show. And what we actually intended to do was we wanted to celebrate the official opening of prime crawfish season by talking about the many different ways to cook crawfish. But just as I predicted, you'll remember I predicted this, we started talking about crawfish boils, and that ate up all the time. Ooh, that was a terrible pun. Excuse that unintended pun. So anyway, we decided that we should revisit the subject this week and try again. One of our fine sponsors, Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike, they're one of the top distributors of crawfish for restaurants and grocery store chains all over the upper Texas Gulf Coast. So we asked them to give us a couple of ideas on who to talk to about other creative recipes for crawfish. You know, different cooking techniques that utilize crawfish. And of course, Jason Cogburn had some great ideas. Jason is the owner of Boyd's One Stop, and he knew just exactly the right people to send us to. And we're really looking forward to hearing some cool and innovative ideas for cooking crawfish today. And plus, we'll give these guests a chance to explain their crawfish boil techniques, too. But in the process, you'll also probably find at least a couple of places where you'll want to go sit down, let somebody else do the cooking. You know, so you can concentrate on the really important part, eating. You're welcome. After all, that's what we do here on the Outdoor Cooking Show. we whet your appetite and destroy your diet plan. Because let's face it, none of us is going to get out of this alive, and we might as well die from something we really enjoy, right? So put on your best crawfish-eating bib, and remember, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy crawfish, and that's basically the same thing.
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in four different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all four flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb. Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Huh, like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We have been looking forward to this for quite some time now. Our next guest is Chef CJ, who is the executive corporate chef at T-Bone Tom's. How you doing, CJ?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing today?
We're fine. We understand you're also deeply involved in Tookie's Seafood and Tookie's Burgers. Is that right?
Correct.
So let's start off by getting your background in the food industry. We hear your interest in cooking actually began with your aunt when you were 12. Is that right?
Correct. I learned how to make chili with my aunt because my mother couldn't even boil water.
That sounds similar to my experience as a child. How did your career evolve? We understand you've lived in quite a few different places.
Well, actually, I was 12, 13 years old and watching Three's Company and, you know, Jack Tripper living with a blonde or brunette on the beach. I decided I was going to be a chef.
And how did that happen?
I went and applied and got a job. I'd washed dishes for one day, and the second day I was making salads, and the third day the German chef came around and said, "You've got the talent," and took me under his wing, and I spent a year with him, and he sent me to one of his other chefs, and by the time I was 18, I was executive chef of Hyatt Regency in Austin, Texas.
My goodness gracious, and we understand you've gone from Kima to Hawaii back to Houston again. How did that happen?
You know, it's the industry. You got to do what you got to do.
And what took you to Hawaii anyway?
I actually spent some time, got married, had my first child. My mom was living in Hawaii since I moved out when I was 15. She's like, "I owe you a few years." So I moved out there and kind of took it easy for a little while and got island fever and decided to come back to Houston and work a big venue downtown, a supper club downtown, and that worked out really well for me.
You didn't run into Barack Obama while you were in Hawaii, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Let's start out by having you tell us about each one of these restaurants. Start out with T-Bone Tom's. From the website and the name, it sounds like T-Bone Tom's is pretty beef intensive, but you've also got an extensive selection of seafood on the menu. Tell us about it.
Correct. We started as a butcher shop 45, 46 years ago. Tom was the original owner. He started out just doing fresh meats and sausages and not cooking anything. And the story is, a truck driver came in one day and there was a little barbecue pit out back and asked Tom if he'd make him one of the burgers, cook it for him. Well, it started from there, and from there we've grown into an empire. It's huge. We've added a whole backyard. We have live bands 6 nights a week, full menu till 2 a.m., 7 nights a week. I mean, it's a big, big ordeal. We actually use certified Angus beef, and you can come in at lunchtime and watch the butchers actually cutting it right there in front of you. We make our own sausage. We cut all our own meat on bandsaw. Everything's done by hand.
And then there's Tookie's Seafood. You call it Mesquite Grill and Chuck Room. That sounds pretty self-explanatory, but fill us in anyway.
Well, we wanted to go back to the basics. You know, everybody does closed doors. You can't see what's going on in the kitchen. So we decided to do an open concept where you can see everything. We decided to go with live mesquite wood to cook all the fish because that gives it a great flavor with doing very little to it. A little salt and pepper, a little lemon juice, and that's about all you need off that mesquite grill.
And I can't resist this next question. Under grilled oysters, Chuck Room, get it, you list pelicans. Now, please tell us that that's just a name for bacon-wrapped oysters with jalapeno and cheese and not really a pelican, right?
It's not really a pelican, no. We have our, you know, it's a big deal in the Seabrook area, the whole pelicans theme. So we have our pelican eggs over at the hamburger place, which is a stuffed jalapeno with bacon and three cheeses. So we took those ingredients and put them on top of the grilled oyster.
That sounds delicious. Now, your bio listed Tookie's Seafood as a concept restaurant, but as far as we can tell, the concept is if it swims, we're going to cook it and you can eat it. How am I doing so far?
You nailed it on the head. And if it's the freshest and the biggest of the best, that's what we're going to serve.
So what's your personal favorite menu item at Tookie's Seafood?
I'm actually really partial to the grilled oysters. We went to New Orleans and spent about 2 weeks down there. I had them at every single place that makes them, and I came back here and recreated them, and I've had some pretty good comments from people that fly in from New Orleans and come straight to me to have my oysters because I've got them beaten hands down.
Well, tell us how you grill oysters at Tookie's.
Well, first off, we start with the great product, and we use the biggest and the best oysters he can get. Then we start out on the regular grill, and we do a lemon garlic butter, a little bit of fresh Parmesan cheese, and then from there, we can do whatever toppings you want. We have several different ways to do them.
Today on the Outdoor Cooking Show, we're continuing our celebration of the opening of prime crawfish season, and we pretty much covered crawfish boils last week, but I did want to give you the opportunity to share your crawfish boil tips for us, because I know you do that at all of your locations.
Yes, I do. I'm pretty partial to how I like to do it. You know, crawfish is one of those things, there's a very small window of it being perfect. So we cook to order. We do not cook a whole sack and put it in an ice chest. We actually use our fryers that we're not using and fill them up with water and boil them. We actually do a really nice, real salty boil for the crawfish. What we've learned over the last couple of years is we're not cooking our corn and potatoes in the same water as the crawfish because it picks up all the salt content. So we actually have a secondary unit cooking that we cook our corn and potatoes in. So when you bite into that corn after all that spicy crawfish, it's actually a relief and not just a big salt bomb. And that's worked out really well for us this year.
I like that. That's a different angle. Now, but we're specifically interested in other ways to cook crawfish this week. So, for instance, let's go to your menu and take the Cajun Queen. It's a recipe for crawfish etouffee. Explain how you do that.
All right. Well, crawfish etouffee is a smothered onion sauce. You know, it's a classic French Creole sauce. And the crawfish tails go into it. And basically, you're going to cook the onions like you would do for a French onion soup. You want a really nice dark color in the onions. And then you do a nice seafood or shrimp stock on it, and you tie it with a blonde roux. And that's your base sauce. And our Cajun Queen, we pair it with the fried crawfish tails and the crawfish etouffee.
And you also offer an etouffee topping for any of the mesquite grilled fish on the menu. Is that basically the same thing?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. It goes really good on the mesquite grill, and it goes really good on anything blackened. So you can put this on top of a chicken breast, any piece of fish, steak. I mean, we do ribeyes blackened with crawfish etouffee is a big seller. So it's a very versatile sauce that's very, very good. You can also not put crawfish tails in it. You can put shrimp in it. So you can do a shrimp etouffee.
So what are some other dishes that you like to serve that utilize crawfish?
Well, you know, we're doing some empanadas, which I got shrimp and crawfish in them. We've got a couple of different dishes there. And the crawfish tails are more of a garnish, I feel, for most things. You know, it's a lot of work to get them out, but they're really good. So the crawfish tails can go into multiple things. I don't really like putting them in the gumbos, but we do occasionally a crawfish bisque, which is a real creamy bisque. We also have a lobster bisque on the menu, so there's a couple of versatile options you can use there.
Well, talk about that crawfish bisque. How do you prepare that?
So it'd be a cream-based and a sherry wine soup, real light, with carrot, celery, and onions in it, and then crawfish tails, and it's pretty easy to make.
Now, the menu at Tookie's is extensive, and we could probably spend the whole hour talking about it, but I really wanted to focus on just a couple of the more unusual-sounding items, like shrimp blimps. What the heck is a shrimp blimp?
We found that the more unusual we make the names, the more people talk about them and ask about them. So a shrimp blimp is just basically a stuffed shrimp. But our stuffing, when you bite into it, most places, and I'm not going to dog anybody, but you know, where's the beef? Where's the crab, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you break into our stuffed shrimp, you see big chunks of vegetables, big pieces of shrimp and crab meat in there. So that's one of the reasons, and we made them look like little blimps.
Ah, I see. And I'm almost afraid to ask about this next one, CJ. You call them shrimp squealers. And first of all, we didn't even know shrimp squealed. But your menu describes shrimp squealers as shrimp with beach ball stuffing. Huh?
Okay, so here we go again in one of our cool words. So our beach balls are our stuffed jalapenos over here, which is shrimp, crab, lobster, and three kinds of cheese that goes in a stuffed jalapeno. We already had pelican eggs, we've already have armadillo eggs, and then we also have shark eggs at the other two restaurants. So we had to come up with a cool name, so we called them beach balls, because it's got a little bit of everything that you can find in the sea inside of them. So we take that stuffing and put it inside of a shrimp, and then we wrap him in applewood bacon, and then when we fry him, he actually squeals.
Wow. I've got to see that for myself. And I've always had a thing for flounder. What is Frank's flounder? And who the heck is Frank, anyway?
You know, Frank was a regular that really likes his flounder stuff, so we called it Frank's flounder. So basically, we do a boneless, skinless flounder filet with a beautiful seafood stuffing, which is the shrimp blimp stuffing in there, and we pan saute it. It's probably one of our better dishes. Flounder's a really good flaky white fish, not real fishy tasting. I'm really proud of that dish.
We've been talking to Chef CJ of Tookie's Seafood. It's located at 1106 Bayport Boulevard in Seabrook, and Tookie's Burgers, and T-Bone Tom's, which is located at 707 Texas 146 in Kema. CJ, it's been a joy and a pleasure, and we want you to come back real soon and talk about steak and ribs, okay?
That sounds great. I'd love to.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. This time of year is great for cabbage, cauliflower, collard and mustard greens, turnips, radishes, rutabagas, kumquats, even Brussels sprouts, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Headed home from the field with an ice cooler full of wild game? Drop it off at Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility and see how they've taken wild game processing and made it a front door experience. Belleville Meat Market hasn't changed the quality of their products or services for 35 years, so they're not changing because they're growing because they haven't changed. Take your wild game to Belleville Meat Market's new wild game processing plant and take the worry out of processing it into any high-quality cut of meat you want. And if you can't make it to Belleville Meat Market, be sure you check out their newly redesigned website and online store, BellevilleMeatMarket.com, offering a wide variety of their most popular pecan smoke products. But if you've got wild game, Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility will handle everything for you, and it's right next door to their landmark location. Belleville Meat Market and Wild Game Processing Center, conveniently located just 14 miles north of I-10 and 14 miles south of Highway 290 on Highway 36 in Belleville. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Randy Hames here, and my salsa has to pass the chip test. That's why I personally recommend Jake's Atomic Salsa. Jake Johnson isn't your typical middle school student. He's picky about salsa, too, so he developed his own. And it was so good, his friends asked him to sell them some, and Jake's Atomic Salsa was born. Jake's Atomic Salsa has a hearty blend of tomatoes, plus roasted poblano, serrano, jalapeno, and habanero peppers. It also includes lots of fresh lemon and lime juice to add bright notes, with no large chunks of onion or cilantro. Jake's Atomic Salsa comes in four different flavors, from mild to out-of-this-world spicy, and goes great with eggs, enchiladas, meatloaf, Bloody Marys, or just pour it over cream cheese. It's the best salsa you've ever tasted, and all the profits go to pay for Jake's college education. Check out Jake's Atomic Salsa on Facebook, and go to jakesatomicsalsa.com to order a few jars, or try the variety pack with all four flavors. I know, you'll agree with me, Jake's Atomic Salsa is the bomb.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
Wow, this is going to be a treat. Here is Ilan Amsalem of Cajun Greek in Galveston. Welcome to the show, Ilan.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Now, let's start off with your name. Did I say it correctly?
Perfectly correct. Ilan. That's a Hebrew name, and it means a big tree in Hebrew. And you pronounce it just right, Ilan.
Well, accidents will happen. We need to begin by telling your story. It's absolutely fascinating. You're originally an Israeli citizen, correct?
Correct.
And is it my understanding that you still maintain a residence in Tel Aviv?
We have a vacation home in Tel Aviv, yes.
How often do you get back there?
I would say 3-4 times a year.
So what brought you to the United States in the first place?
My father-in-law had for many years, you know, a surf shop in Wildwood, New Jersey. And then he ended up buying a store in a shop in Galveston. And he came here to try to see how it is and know the island better and see how business is going. And he came first time in 1989. And basically his daughter, which is my wife, and I just joined him around 92. And in 1993, we moved permanently to Galveston and started to develop this surf shops business. And we grew from one store to another to another. And today the family owns about 7-8 of them.
Wow.
In the Strand area and Seawalls. So that's the main business for the family. And we're doing some other stuff. I used to be a developer in many real estate projects, mainly office buildings and residentials also. And that's how we came here, basically.
So you've fully embraced life on the island, that's no doubt. And that kind of establishes that we're now talking to an Israeli who owns a restaurant named The Cajun Greek. So this may well be the most culturally diverse interview that I've done in over 50 years in radio. First of all, tell us, where did the name Cajun Greek come from?
The name Cajun Greek came, you know, the location we are at on 61st Street used to be a restaurant called Seafood Depot since 35 years ago, if I'm not wrong. And this guy that owned the Seafood Depot sold it to a Greek guy. And the Greek guy, he changed the name to the Cajun Greek. The Greek guy ended up selling this restaurant to another guy, John Ragusa. And we took over from John about 6 years ago. So the Cajun Greek name was there since the Greek guy owns it for a few years, and he put some Greek dishes in the menu, and the next owner kept the recipes, and we did the same, and people really like it.
First of all, my compliments on your website. I own a multimedia company that builds websites, and your website for the Cajun Greek is very impressive. And one does not have to look at your website very long to understand the fusion of cooking styles you guys employ, Louisiana and Mediterranean. So fill us in on the variety we can expect to find on your menu at the Cajun Greek.
The variety, first of all, I would say we are hardcore seafood restaurant. In our restaurant, something very unique you can find beside shellfish as blue crabs, stone crabs, shrimp and crawfish. We sell completely whole snappers, whole flounders, and people really like it. And we kind of grill it Mediterranean style, just like in Greece and or South France, or I would say Spain, Barcelona style. A lot of it. I grew up eating this food in South France. That's where my family coming from. So I'm very familiar with it. And I am a seafood freak, I must admit. I pushed more and more the seafood in our restaurant. And what made it really famous, when most fishermen in our area coming and eating at the Cajun Greek and other people see it, they know the seafood is good, it's fresh, and it's local. You can eat from a feta and tzatziki plate, which is a Greek beautiful yogurt and cucumber appetizer with good cheese and fresh veggies, next to, we call them Greek lollipops, which are really fine lamb chops on a French cut, laying on grilled potatoes. And you can have whole fish in different ways and stuffed crabs and beautiful crab cakes. That's we're getting a lot of compliments. It's kind of Maryland style. No fillers, no veggies, no breadcrumbs in it. Pure blue crabs from the bay across the street from our restaurant. And one of our crabber is Jason Boyd. So he get us and process the crab meat for us in his place. Jason Boyd is one of our bigger supplier. And I would say it's very interesting menu. Almost
anyone can find something.
Now, last week's edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show focused on crawfish boils, and today we want to discuss other ways to prepare crawfish, but I also wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about your crawfish boils at the Cajun Greek first. How do you do it?
Okay. You know, first of all, I've been introduced to crawfish in Galveston. I never saw them before, never had them. The closest thing I had to eating crawfish, it's langoustine in South Europe. But I want to say something to many, many, many Texans that's talking with me every day about crawfish and how they do them, and each person doing them in a different way. People boil them with mushroom, with sausage, with chicken, with you name it. But one thing I want to say, crawfish starts with buying the right crawfish from the right farms. And that's what Jason Boyd knowing about. And it's hard to find somebody that's consistent and have those farms working for him and picking for him the very good crawfish. Second, Jason Boyd has the option to buy select crawfish, number one. They grade them. And if you buy the highest grade, that's how you start a very good crawfish boil. And also, it's the cleaning of it. So crawfish boils start with buying good crawfish, the right size, clean them very good with Jason Boyd, run and rinse them and purge them for us. And then they come into the restaurant and we do three more washes to the crawfish. And then you start. The second thing, it's the water. We don't use just water from the faucet. We make a great amount of seafood stock. And that's the base of the water we are using. And then the spices, I mean, it's up to your taste how to do them. The third and last thing that we do, I think, differently than anybody else, we make each order per request. We don't boil a huge amount and then put them in ice chest and they overcooked and stuff like that. You order 3 pounds. We drop 3 pounds for you. We scale them. We drop them to the water. After we get them out of the water, which we keep the water pretty mild, then they go to a big metal bowl, and that's where we toast them with the other spices. It's different spices. And when you toast them like that and serve them, they come in so fresh, so juicy. And I think those are the bases. Then you can add whatever you want to it, mushrooms or sausage, but it starts with good, great crawfish. Then second, clean them very well and use good water. If you can use a seafood stock, it's even better.
And of course, he's talking about Jason Cogburn at Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. But quickly now, we're running out of time, but I really want you to tell us how you prepare a crawfish pie. That's basic in Bayou country. How do you make a crawfish pie?
Crawfish pie, you have to have a good base pie, and then the stuffing, what you put in it. And we have a very, very unique stuffing mix that we use Gulf shrimp and crab meat and catfish in it, and salted vegetables, a lot of spices, and a lot of crawfish tails that's coming with a little creamy sauce in it. You close the pie, and you bake it like that. And when you open it on your plate, it's beautiful, steamy, and smell like an etouffee that's coming from the pie, and very tasty.
Ilan, we have run out of time, and there are so many things I want to ask you about. This is Ilan Amsalam, an Israeli who owns The Cajun Greek, proving that good food knows no boundaries. The Cajun Greek is located at 2226 61st Street in Galveston. If you can't find 61st Street in Galveston, you need to go to Galveston a little more often. Thanks for your time, Ilan, and let's visit again real soon, okay?
Thank you very much for having me.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. This time of year is great for cabbage, cauliflower, collard and mustard greens, turnips, radishes, rutabagas, kumquats, even Brussels sprouts, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Froberg's Farm. Farm fresh produce since 1936.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls. But not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
Can't believe we haven't talked to my old buddy in almost a month, but it's true. Here is my former Hudson and Harrigan partner on the radio, Fred Olson. Hey, pal.
Hey, buddy. It's been that long?
Yeah, a month exactly. Tomorrow.
And the weather hasn't changed. It's still all funky.
Did you think I'd divorced you?
No, you get busy, and I'm glad to see you busy, man. That's a good thing. I always want people around me to succeed, and that's wonderful.
Total transparency here. We're recording this interview about a week before it actually airs, but the Brock Osweiler deal has gone down.
Right.
What's your take on that?
I can see it in the future now. And picture this. Hi, I'm Tony Romo for Blue Emu. Or Blue Shield, Blue Cross.
All right, it's Blue Cross, Blue Shield.
Blue Cross, well, yeah. Obviously, it shows you how much I know about my insurance. But, I'm excited that they were able to do that, and it's called a dumping a contract. It's a little suspect, maybe, for the NFL. But I think to get out from underneath that is terrific and to have some money left over. So, and bless Osweiler, he seems like a really nice guy, but he may just end up, well.
Who knows?
peddling blue emu. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows where he'll wind up. And again, total transparency. This is a week before it actually airs. But there's already talk that Cleveland's trying to package him in a deal to trade him off to somebody else.
That's true. And between now and when we're really on the air together next week, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We might have Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, anything could happen.
Yeah.
So how are you and Bev doing? What you been up to?
The garden is in. We got the garden in early because of the funky weather. We figured, you know, we're not going to have, if we have a freeze, we'll throw some blankets on them. I don't care. But we've got the tomatoes in and the peppers and the cucumbers are getting ready to go in, and we're ready to roll.
So one more question. When do we eat, Fred?
Well, it's got to grow first, Randy. It takes about 70 days for tomatoes to, you know, get ready to eat. So
many things have happened since you and I last talked, and I apologize again for not having you on lately. But we did discuss the Super Bowl. We did discuss trail rides and the rodeo parade. But I don't think we ever got around to talking about the barbecue cook-off. Do you have any great memories of barbecue cook-off?
I will tell you my most favorite one, and I tell people this because now it's so huge and so corporate and so gigantic that I remember when it first kind of started, and it really started kind of taking off, and our idea of a barbecue tent, we had a little Airstream camper trailer pulled up out there. We had about 7 or 8 bales of hay,
uh-huh.
Right,
yeah.
And some lawn chairs. And some barbecue, and when it ran out, you were done.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And we'd look around and go, everybody's gone. And you and I would bring on people like, oh, who do we bring on? There was a stage out in the parking lot. Who am I thinking of?
I have no earthly idea. I remember Earl Campbell standing at the back of the stage, blitzed on beer, having a great time. I do remember that. And here's another one, too. I remember Kevin Fowler was playing in our barbecue cook-off tent, and some young lady in the audience with some rather impressive assets, I might add, decided that she was going to jump up on stage and dance to the music while shedding various articles of clothing.
Mm.
And if I recall correctly, she appeared to have some considerable experience at shedding various articles of clothing. Not that either one of us would have any firsthand knowledge of that kind of thing. Let's move on to something else. So how about St. Patrick's Day? It was last Friday. Did you and Bev do anything special for St. Patrick's Day?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's like the old St. Patrick's Day joke. Remember last St. Patrick's Day? Yeah, me neither.
Well, the whole thing is that everything, the ranch is all green now, so I guess we celebrated looking out at the greenery, but no, we didn't. We don't like go out and celebrate like we used to on St. Patty's Day when we lived in Houston. So out here it's like, hey, let's have a glass of wine. That's good.
I've come to realize St. Patrick's Day is the one holiday where full-blown alcoholism quite possibly could go completely undetected.
Woo, it is amateur night.
Yeah, and I can remember more than a few St. Patrick's Days when my only goal for work the next morning on March 18th was to not be wearing the same outfit I went to work in on March 17th.
Oh, man.
I do remember one good St. Patrick's Day story. We emceed an event at Bira Peretti's on West
Bay. I remember the soprano, wasn't it?
A tenor contest.
Tenor, that was it.
Tenor contest. And I was passing through the crowd, and I heard some young lady off to my right scream at some drunk guy, if you pinch me one more time, buddy, I can guarantee the road's going to rise up to meet your face.
Well, Bira Peretti's is now a California pizza kitchen.
Is that right?
One over on West Gray, right? Well, that was my old neighborhood before we moved out. So, yeah, every time I drive by, I remember going to Bira Peretti's. We had a Christmas party there once.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Yes, we did. And you wore a tutu, but let's not get into that. Aha! Gotcha.
Enough of legends and lies, okay? Let's talk about crawfish. My daughter likes to say, I've got OCD, obsessive crawfish disorder.
Oh,
but then
I
again,
know.
She went to LSU, so she's got a viable excuse. I found that as soon as I bring up the subject of crawfish boils, entire segments of this show disappear before my very eyes.
Oh, it evaporates, doesn't it?
Because everybody's got a story or an opinion on crawfish boils. Do you guys do boils out at the ranch?
We do, and it's something I could tell you about that I find really interesting, what got me into crawfish. We had a number of them here. We've had like 3 or 4 in the last number of years. But what I call the fear of crawfish.
What's that?
Well, it's when I would tell you the guy's name, and I hope he's still doing well. His name was Rick Zapp, and I haven't seen him in 20 years, but he would have me over for a crawfish boil, but I get there, I didn't know how to eat them.
Uh-huh.
I've been in Texas 15 years. I did not eat them.
Right.
And I was sitting there with a beer kind of struggling, and this boy from Louisiana, Donaldsonville, I think, said, you want me to show you how to do that? And I said, I would love it. And he showed me, and I became OCD about it.
Yeah.
I would start to go to crawfish boils. You and I used to do like the spring crawfish boil and all that stuff.
Right.
And I would suddenly want to go because I knew how to eat the things. So I will say, those of you listening now who really would like to, but and sometimes admitting you don't know how to or you think it's too messy, have someone who knows how to do it show you how to do it. And I will guarantee your life would change, my friend.
So I have to ask you this question. This is the key question.
Yeah.
Do you suck the heads?
No, Bev does. She likes that, all that stuff. I say, you know how long I have to get on the treadmill to burn that off?
I'll tell you this much, Fred. You would not believe the number of different recipes and techniques I have heard over the last 2 weeks of talking about crawfish.
Yeah.
Some people boil everything all together at the same time.
Right.
Some people boil the different elements in stages and they time them with a stopwatch.
Right.
Some people use two different boilers. They got one hot for cooking the crawfish, then they've got one warm in which they just soak the crawfish.
I like that idea. That's good.
And soaking seems to be the key. Then some people go for 2 minutes. Some people go for 10 minutes. I've come to the conclusion that there are as many different ways to boil crawfish as there are crawfish boiling people.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. When you cook a lobster, you don't really boil it. You steam it if you really want to cook it. It's going to cook. To boil things sometimes too long makes them tough. And mm-hmm. I'm really picky about my crawfish. And I'll put a stick of butter in that, too, you know, to make sure they slide out real easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. People use olive oil, stuff like that. But I try to cook them too long. I'd rather let them soak longer, steam in a big igloo cooler.
Uh-huh.
If you throw them in there as you're cooking them and season them and lay them on in layers like that for a big group, and then they keep cooking. You know, they don't stop cooking once you throw them in a hot cooler. That's funny. That's measurably exclusive hot cooler. Or a big igloo that you've got half full of hot crawfish already. They're still steaming in there.
And you know, there's another element to all of that, global warming. A lot of people think global warming will result in a longer crawfish season and even more and bigger crawfish. What do you think of that?
I don't.
Your conservative roots are showing, Fred.
Well, you know, there are people now, there are people who farm them year-round, pretty much.
Yep.
Let's face it.
Yep.
And they've got it down to a science. And the guy I was telling you who taught me how to, I was at his party when I learned how to eat them. He was picky about where he bought them,
uh-huh.
and when he bought them, and how big they were. And so I got off to a great start with someone who knew what the heck they were doing. And just, you get around people who make good ones, you go, how do you do that? And they'll probably gladly share their recipe with you. And don't be afraid to do it. Get a little cookers. Those bio cookers are cheap.
Uh-huh.
And get a propane bottle. I always keep 3 propane bottles around.
Because it's a long way to the store to get another one, right, Fred?
That's right, buddy. That's true. I keep 2 or 3 of everything. Like the Navy SEALs say, 1 is none, 2 is 1. So.
And when it comes to more and bigger crawfish, I always just say, that's great, we'll get crawfish for Christmas.
New Year's crawfish boil. I can see it now.
Well, the crawdaddies are on their last legs, my friend, and so is this segment. So it's good to talk to you, old pal. And just remember, don't eat the straight ones.
Yeah, really. Make sure that tail is tucked.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show. Or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?